In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
Self-esteem. What scriptures can be used to minister to low self-esteem? I could talk for hours on this subject. Low self-esteem is a form of pride. We cannot work on building our self-esteem and at the same time do what Jesus Christ tells us to do if we want to follow him. He says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up the cross and follow me. And I am deeply disturbed by this emphasis on self-esteem. When people say, well, I have a poor self-image, that's a way of saying, I got cheated out of some of the gifts that some other people had. Or somebody did something to me when I was a child, and so I have poor self-esteem. Think about this. When Isaiah saw holiness in the temple, he was so overwhelmed with the fact that here was this glory and here was this smoke that filled the temple and the very doorposts were shaking with the presence of this holiness. What did Isaiah do? He fell on his face and he says, woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He had zero self-image once he had looked at holiness. And the same thing happened with Peter. When Peter looked at Jesus and realized that he was the Christ, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Depart from me, Lord. He realized his utter worthlessness. And we are worthless. And as Martin Luther said, we are not worthy. God does not love us because we are worthy. We are worthy because God loves us and for no other reason. So if you really want a study of which self you're talking about, whether it is the new self created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or whether it's the old, miserable, low self-esteem, poor little me, self-pitying self, study Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, I think it is. It talks about the two selves. And whenever I hear all these psychologists and people on the radio talking about self-esteem and self-image and self-worth and self-actualization, I just want to say, which self are you talking about? You wouldn't be talking about self-worth and self-esteem if you're talking about the old man, because it's not worth anything. And you certainly wouldn't be talking about it if you're talking about the new self in Christ Jesus. Why have you maintained the last name Elliot? I appreciate that question, and I'm always glad to answer it. I have not maintained the last name of Elliot. That happens to be my pen name. I am Elizabeth Gren. I am Mrs. Lars Gren. That's what I have on my stationery. And I'm always Mrs. Lars Gren. But publishers would take a very dim view if by this time I had all my names strung out. No, you can't be changing your name. Now, I realize Ann Kimmel Anderson changed hers and Johnny Erickson Tata changed hers. And I could have back then when I got married the second time, but it really didn't occur to me to do it because Elizabeth Elliott is a pen name. That's all it is. I don't want anyone to think that I refuse my husband's name. On the surface, your family and loved ones appear to be all devoted followers of Jesus. Have you or any of them had any prodigal time? And if so, how or by whom were you called back to the Lord Jesus? I don't think any of us has been a full-dress prodigal, card-carrying prodigal. But of course, all of us in various ways have disappointed our parents. So I don't mean to paint a picture of a perfect family, not by any means. But we have followed the Lord. I mean, We still have family reunions, and when we get together, one of the most important things that we do is sing hymns together. And I have four brothers and one sister. Five out of the six of us have been missionaries. The sixth has always been in Christian education. Of all your books, which one is your personal favorite? That's like asking, of all your children, which one is your personal favorite?
can't answer that. What is the source or sources of your old but out-of-print Christian books? Either books that people have given me or books that I got from my father or books that people have recommended to me and I go to secondhand bookstores to look for them. There are many secondhand bookstores, mail order places, and you can find out some of those, and some of the best, some of my most amazing finds have been in places that seem most unlikely. I just had maybe 5 minutes and I run into a tiny little secondhand bookstore in Gloucester, which is near us, and it was very small. I mean, it was maybe 8 feet wide and about 15 feet long, and there was a gum-chewing punk sitting there at the counter. And I said to him, "Do you have any religious books here?" And he said, "Well, let me think. Now, religious, I got some back there on that shelf." So I went back, and there were about this many religious books on a shelf, and bang in the middle was the book that I had been looking for years, and it cost me $1. What advice do you have for a woman with small children attempting to keep church duties and feeling overwhelmed? Let me say that my mother, it never occurred to my mother that she had any other ministry except to raise her children. And in her funeral, at her funeral, God in his amazing providence arranged for all six of us to be able to be there, which is unheard of because I have two brothers that travel as much as I, one of them travels much more than I do and the other one travels a lot. And so the possibility of our being in the same place at the same time was almost zero. But at her funeral, we each gave a two-minute talk on some quality that we thanked God for in our mother. And my brother, being the oldest, gave the first talk, and the first thing he said was, "Mother was always there." And we thanked God for that. It never occurred to her that she should be doing civic work or teaching a Bible class or teaching a Sunday school class or anything like that. She felt that this was her assignment from God. Now, I don't mean to say that you have to copy what she believed, but don't feel that you ought to be doing something spiritual as opposed to wiping little runny noses and wiping up messes in the kitchen and washing diapers, because those things come under the heading of Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it for me. And so if you can see in that child Jesus Christ, you can make the same commitment Mary did when she knew that she was to bear the Son of God. "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, let it happen as you say." And we don't read anything about Mary going out and preaching the gospel or doing anything at all outside of the home. What do you think of women in the pastorate? How does a man support a woman pastor? To the second question, I would say, he can't and he shouldn't. To the first, it is eminently clear to me that women are not to usurp authority, either in the church or in the home. And that means that we take a back seat, not because of competence. It has nothing to do with competence. And of course, the whole equality movement is an attempt to prove that anything men can do, I can do better. That is rebellion of the sort that started back in the Garden of Eden, where the roles were reversed. Eve became the initiator, Adam became the responder, and we've been in a mess ever since. And the Bible is crystal clear on the fact that women are not to usurp authority. It's never my purpose to usurp authority in the church. I know your next question is, well, how come you speak in churches? I never speak in a Sunday morning church service, never. If I speak to a mixed group in a church, say on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening or maybe a mixed Sunday school class or something, I request that a man be in charge of that meeting so that my position then is under the authority of Christ, under the authority of this church, under the authority of the pastor of this church, and under the authority of my husband. Having said that, I have to say, I might be wrong in doing even as much as I do. Of course, no man has to turn on my radio program. No man has to read any of my books. If they do it, they do it voluntarily. And what I'm attempting to do is simply build up and encourage the church, which is what the New Testament defines as prophecy. Paul did tell women to keep their mouths shut in church, but he also allowed them to pray and to prophesy. So to get those two things in harmony or balance is beyond me. Aside from prayer, do you have any suggestions for influencing a husband, parents, and adult siblings to study the Bible and become seven-day-a-week Christians? The most important thing you can do to influence your husband is what Peter says in 1 Peter 3, a gentle and quiet spirit. We are not our husband's moral custodians. They have to answer to God, and they will be much more likely to make some changes in their own spiritual life if we keep our mouths shut and represent in the way we live true modest womanliness and femininity. I would suggest you read all of 1 Peter 3. That is the definitive passage on what a wife is to do if her husband is not doing what she thinks he ought to do. I would also want to recommend to you an absolutely wonderful book called Me, Obey Him. It's by my classmate and debate colleague in Wheaton College. Her name is Elizabeth Handford, and that book has been a blockbuster to me. She really hit me between the eyes with a whole lot of things that I'd been dishing out on my radio program, but had not really understood as thoroughly as I have since I read her book.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.